welcome back to Share Truth Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
Hello. Hey. How's it going?
You know, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
I feel like we've kind of been, over the past few weeks, along, you know, just life happening.
Yeah.
And so I haven't got a chance to, like, really, we've stored up recordings and gone a few weeks without seeing each other. Because somebody had another baby.
That happened.
And that of course, is a joyous occasion.
Absolutely.
So, and then we just had our first ever Activate Summit.
Yeah, it was great.
And a lot of the employees participate in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to work with kids.
Me
Jordan,
too.
Jordan, you also got to work with kids. I believe they put you in the game room.
They did, and so, I will tell you, that was a fun, crazy time.
I can't help. I was actually put in a classroom, and when we went to the game room with these kids, and on that last day, they had the big blow-up thing for an obstacle course.
Yes.
And to watch you have to go in there and, like, pull kids who kept getting stuck.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I hurt myself going through that thing at least once.
Look, we are no longer teenagers.
Yeah, and I was just watching the energy that these kids had. They would run, like, every single one of these kids would run through this blow-up obstacle course, like, 10, 15 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, be barely breaking a sweat. And I'm just there, like, there's no way. Like,
yeah.
I barely remember being able to do that.
Yeah.
And I was just, wow, like, the energy you guys have, I wish I had half of it.
Yeah. Well, if you were able to attend the conference this year, thank you so much. We're glad you were able to be there. And if not, you know what? Start preparing for next year.
Yeah.
Because it was a good time. We have kids' classes for ages 6 to 12.
Yep.
So there'll be content for them, and we had some really great speakers. I wish I would have gotten to go and sit and listen to a few of them, but the kids kind of were like a full-time thing. So I didn't really get to do that, but that's okay because I had a great time with the kids. And if you entrusted your children with us and let them spend the day with us, those days with us, I mean, they really got, I feel like, a great lesson.
Yeah.
Our people here, and I'm going to give a shout out to Kendra White because she is one.
Yes.
She was in our we had some good teachers too that they picked a really good between her and so Kendra White and Tasha Easterling. And I know that's just a couple people.
Right.
There's so many who did so much work, but they put a lot of thought. And I know Kendra with the curriculum, like our team here at American Family Studios, they did a lot of work over there and recordings and created a good video curriculum for the kids to go along with the lessons. And there was a lot of discussing being the light and being the salt. And then there was a lot of discussion on how we know we can trust the Bible and what it says and how it is true. And so... overall, great time. I was tired. You never realize how quiet your house normally is. and mine normally is because there are no kids.
Mine is not quiet ever unless the kids are asleep.
No longer, yeah. Well, you're a dad, and I have one cat who doesn't like people.
Right.
So she normally is off hiding somewhere.
Right.
But like it is pretty quiet, and this was just
it was the opposite. It was definite. Yeah.
But it was great. It was great. It was a good time.
It was. And the theme of it was, you know, building upon like the biblical bound rock of our faith and really emphasizing the Bible's authority in the lives of Christians. Now the future Activate summits, I don't know if they have been announced yet, if dates and stuff for the next upcoming one. I do know that that is an intended thing. And look, if you want to just get the latest news for that, just be sure to visit AFA.net and just keep an eye on that.
And we have a curriculum called Activate that was kind of the summit was named after.
Yeah.
And that you can go and be a part of, and you can go watch the videos, and there's workbooks and everything else. And and I think that's a good one maybe for your family at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if you have a church group.
Yeah.
So go to AFA.net where that is the hub of everything we do here, including our resource center where you can get those materials and other things. So, and we have a streaming platform. So if you go again to AFA.net, you'll be able to connect to our streaming platform, or you'll be able to see a lot of, tons of content. So
yeah,
But that is not what today is about. Like, that's not what the recording is about. Well, I think we've gone about 5 minutes discussing
this. It's
good
to cover those bases, yeah. But, yeah, so that's where we've been. We're very good and tired from working at the conference, but it was very good. And kind of, you know, the bedrock of our foundation is the Bible. And the Bible has a lot to say about not just, you know, the right things to do, the wrong things to do, the do's and don'ts of life, but there's a lot that it has to say about loving other people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, Jesus himself said you can really boil down the law and the prophets, you know, into do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the golden rule. It's that sums up the law and the prophets. And I feel like that's a powerful thing to remember is in our minds, when we think about biblical worldview, we think about applying the Bible to our lives. We can get unintentionally complex with it. I think we can really split hairs and get in our own ways really academic with it, when really the thrust of the Bible is very, very simple on a lot of these things. And a lot of it does go down to, yes, you know, as people of God and as representatives of God, what are we representing? We're representing his love to humanity. Humanity really enjoys this unique place in creation as, of all creatures, angels included, of all creatures, humanity was made in the image of God and is able to have a relationship, a family relationship to God. Angels can't claim that. Even angels don't enjoy the mercy of God or the grace of God. They occupy a space that's completely unique to them as creatures, but the fallen angels, they have no chance at redemption.
Yeah.
And so that is something that we experience as humans, and especially as Christians. But then we are called by the Bible to turn around towards unrepentant sinners around us, people in our culture, people in our communities, and share that same love and that same mercy with them as well.
And I know that I told you this, that sometimes, depending on the situation, there are certain things I struggle with finding that mercy and extending it. And that, you know, there's certain, I hear these stories of people who do these awful things, and in my heart, I do not want to extend mercy to them. I'm very much Jonah in that situation.
Yes.
When he was called to go to Nineveh, he didn't want to.
Yeah.
Some people may, especially if you've not really gotten into the Bible, may remember reading about snippets of Jonah's story, and you forget about the part where he ran away.
Yeah.
I mean, he eventually got to Nineveh because God didn't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, found a way to change Jonah's. Well, the thing is Jonah did go.
Jonah went. Yeah.
But you know what? He still had the attitude the whole way. Even after he had delivered his message and the people of Nineveh had realized their sin.
Yes.
And they started tearing their clothes and begging for forgiveness from God. And that, seeing that, that should have broken your heart.
Yeah.
You should be so thankful when someone does turn. But Jonah had that. He still had the attitude.
Yeah.
He went off and laid off and wanted to die.
Yeah.
Because God wouldn't just wipe Nineveh off the face of the earth. And in those moments, as Christians, I think that we forget that the mercy that God is asking you to extend to others, he extended to us.
That is a great point as well. Yes, when we hear of things that we hear of groups of people or people, individuals who have done things that are unthinkable, that is the only way, truly, that is the only way that the Holy Spirit, I feel like, helps us to extend mercy if we even do that at all. Now, to give context with Nineveh, everyone, you know, if you've read the Bible, if you've grown up in church, you're at least a little familiar with the story.
Yeah.
But Nineveh, a little deep dive on Nineveh. Nineveh was a terrible, awful, terrible place.
Not just like a little. I know if you watched the VeggieTales version of Jonah, and it's all, and they were slapping people with fishes.
They were slapping people with fish.
I encourage you to go back and reread the book of Jonah.
Yeah.
and really study your history mm-hmm. on places like Nineveh, because yeah. the things they were doing
yeah.
were, like, I know we think about Sodom and Gomorrah mm-hmm. and the things they were doing. I think Nineveh
was potentially, as far as its relationship with people around it, it was probably worse. Now,
yeah.
Sodom and Gomorrah had a lot of internal issues. Like, yes, they was very gross and rampant. But Nineveh probably had that as well. But in addition to that, they were notorious for the way that they would treat prisoners of war.
Yeah.
They, capital D, dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Torturous.
Just saying yeah. they tortured them is very, like, mm-hmm. very kind to say, I think. I mean,
yeah.
like, if you went into the types of torture.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is you think of the world back then and how harsh mm-hmm. and inhumane that world already was.
Mm-hmm.
Nineveh standing out and having this reputation of, you think we're bad, you should check out Nineveh. That goes a long way to show Jonah's view of Nineveh when it talks about him wanting to die because God showed them mercy.
Yeah.
That should tell us what kind of place Nineveh was. But again, the radical transformation here, the radical repentance that they demonstrated, they didn't even know, to my knowledge, and when you read the account, Jonah doesn't tell them who God is. Jonah doesn't tell them, you know, doesn't walk them through this list of doctrine and this theological dissertation on the character of God and his love and his goodness. All he gets like a one sentence sermon, the bare minimum, and tells them, you have 40 days, and if you don't return from your evil ways, you will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. And there is this radical repentance, obviously, that could have only been done with that bare minimum preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit empowered that one sentence sermon mm-hmm. to really touch hearts in that situation. And they repented in sackcloth and ashes, which was one of the biggest forms of showing humility back then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was radical repentance, and Jonah's still struggling with mercy. But then God goes on to say, you know, that should I not have compassion on Nineveh, a great city in which there are more than 1,200,000 people who don't know the difference between their right hand and their left hand, as well as many animals.
Yeah.
That's where the book ends, kind of on that cliffhanger of like that question. Like, you won't even consider the innocence. These people who don't know the difference between their left hand and right hand, those are probably children
mm-hmm.
and the animals. You wanted them to be wiped out as well. And I think that right there, we can probably justify our righteous anger, quote unquote, or our withholding of mercy from people who have done really terrible things. But I think this is a warning that, hey, the human heart will often lump other people into categories
mm-hmm.
that you need to be aware of. When you start calling for action to be taken against a group of people,
mm-hmm.
Maybe be more specific, and maybe just be more understanding that there's more to the situation than meets the eye, or just be understanding that, hey, the human heart is evil, and you can actually wish evil on people who don't, who really should be shown mercy.
Yeah. But then you fast forward to Christ walking among us
yeah.
here on earth, and he has been beaten beyond recognition, and he's hanging on a cross.
Yeah.
And what does he say?
Yeah.
Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm.
And to me, that is, I mean, and Christ is the standard that we should be looking to
yeah.
On how we are supposed to model ourselves and behave.
Yeah.
And if he can show mercy to the people that had, who had mocked him, because, I mean, they beat him
mm-hmm.
And not, I mean, like, really, it wasn't like just hitting him.
Right.
Like, flesh was torn from
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And they mocked him, they spit on him, they gambled for his clothes, and he was on a cross gasping for air.
Yeah.
If you've really looked at the anatomy of how the crucifixions work.
Yeah.
They would sink down and would have to push up on the nail through their foot, get up and get breath. And he's going through all of that,
mm-hmm.
and he still finds he still finds the time to show mercy.
Yeah.
Man. And which one of us could do that?
And even pulling the veil back a little bit, behind the horrific physical suffering, which maybe we could understand a little bit of, maybe we could imagine that. But this is God the Son,
mm-hmm.
who has forever, in eternity past, has always been in perfect and harmonious and loving fellowship with God the Father,
yes.
God the Holy Spirit. And you can look at his prayer in Gethsemane, and you can see God, Jesus the man there, saying, Lord, if this be your will, let this cup pass from me. He knew what was going to happen. And it wasn't just the cross, although that was definitely part of it. It was the separation that he was going to have from the Trinity. And
in that moment when he took all the sins of the world on him.
Sins that God cannot even look upon.
Yeah.
He was doing something that we can't even begin to imagine what it even means. And it was superhumanly difficult and terrible and more suffering than any human could have ever gone through. And that's when he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. It's during all of that.
Yeah.
And that adds so much more power to, I think, that sentence and his carrying through the ordeal on the cross.
Just the fact that he was on the cross to begin with.
Yeah.
Just that fact alone was the ultimate act of compassion and mercy towards us who we do not deserve it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We are undeserving, unworthy, but mm-hmm. Christ still did that.
Yeah.
And he knew what was going to happen. He knew that it was going to be painful and awful, and he still did that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, too, it really turned the concept of justice on its head. So when we think about what Jesus did on the cross, throughout his whole life as a human being on the planet Earth, his ordeal on the cross, and now standing before God on behalf of his people,
mm-hmm.
What is justice now? Is justice that sinners would be sent to eternal separation from God? Yes, in a way, that is justice. That would mm-hmm. be for an unrepentant sinner. But more than there is something that is owed to Jesus now, that because he did this, he paid that price, he is owed souls now.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is sinners coming to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a strange, turning it on its head at the cross, and I can only imagine the bewilderment of the angels when they saw that, that up until this point it was you keep the law or you die, and here's a man who has kept the law, mm-hmm. and he dies on behalf of those who can't or haven't and can't, and all of a sudden now his reward is a people. And that's what the Bible says, that God is giving his son a people. God is giving his son a kingdom. And so how does that inform us when we read a story in the news, whether it's an individual who did something terrible, a group of people that did something terrible, or maybe it's a group of people or an individual who, they did something we don't like, and it's certainly something that we don't agree with, or maybe there are people who are seeking to tear down things about our culture or our nation or our way of life that is very important to us and we believe that are, founded on biblical principles. How does that inform our reaction? And I really think that it's a prayer for mercy,
mm-hmm.
Not just for us, but for those people as well, is that, Lord, here are people who not only do they need you, but this is an opportunity to give Jesus people. This is an opportunity to give Jesus the reward for his suffering in this area. And in doing so, so much glory goes to God because that is him conquering. That is mm-hmm. his kingdom advancing in this world.
Yeah. I think there's a realm here that the Christians in America seem to fail on this the most, and that is the political realm.
Yeah.
I also get angry and fired up when I see people making decisions that go against my beliefs, and I see some of the things happening in the news. Mm-hmm. Well, the next time you're watching those things and you want to just be mad, and you've started thinking of all these names you want to call these people,
you start composing your Facebook post in your head.
Oh yeah. Again, I've said it before. Yeah. I've said it most shows, and I'll say it again. Delete the post. Stop typing. Unplug for a little while.
Yeah.
And maybe open up the Bible and spend a little time there first. Yep. Yep. But the next time you start feeling that anger bubble up in you and you want to look at those people, look at how lost they are. Most of those people that you're getting angry with are separated from God.
Yeah.
They are living a life separated from God. Yeah. Some of them don't have a want for a Savior. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should spend some time praying about that and praying that they will find that shift where they realize that, number one, that they are a sinner and need a Savior, and start there.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we stand for justice in our nation. We stand for justice in our communities. If there is something that is wrong that needs to be put right, let's do what we can to make that happen. But the thing is, that doesn't have to go hand in hand with our wrath. You know, that doesn't have to go hand in hand with our, you know, this person is a subhuman who, you know, God is displeased with, and therefore I am also, and feeling justified in very, you know, strong emotions towards this person. Mm-hmm. The strong emotions should be, Lord, please save them if they're not already. And if they are, please show them their mistake. And imagine the power of that. I think that when we don't pray, it's because we don't believe prayer does anything.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if instead of those, you know, those snarky, clever, quote unquote, Facebook posts that go out there, you know, just railing against everything you dislike about whatever the case may be. Imagine instead of all of those comments that you make to your neighbor, your coworker, your pastor, your spouse, about how this person is such a terrible person and just needs to go away or whatever the case. Imagine if those things were replaced with genuine, simple prayers that God would show mercy. And if that happened across the board throughout the church, let's just put down our phones for a second. Let's get off of our soapbox. The world doesn't need our opinion. The world needs, one, our work. Yes, work for justice in your communities. Be politically active, absolutely, but also pray, and pray more than you do any of those things.
And maybe think a little bit about Christians who live in countries that they could be killed for their beliefs, and often are, and they are surrounded by people who hate them, who hate them, yet they are still out there trying to bring those people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Start thinking about, again, embodying the mercy. You don't condone behaviors that you know are sinful. You don't back down from that.
Yeah.
And in the fact that you love the people who are still committing these sins, you continue to preach what is right and do it in love.
Yeah. You will really stand out in a world that expects God to be this wrathful, vindictive, you cross this line and you'll get what's coming to you kind of father. They expect that. And then for us to show, actually, the first hand that God extends to a sinner is that of mercy. Mm-hmm. It's not wrath. Jesus took that. Mercy is free. Come to him. Like, that idea, I think, will be shocking to people. And if that is your first motion, that your first interaction with someone who either has no idea who God is or actively hates God, and there are people like that out there, and you show them that radical mercy, that Jesus-like mercy, I can't imagine the impact that that would probably have.
Yeah.
And even, you know what, even if they don't come to the Lord, he still gets the glory from that. They still have encountered him. And maybe one day you've laid the foundation for someone else to come and build upon. You've tilled up that soil for someone else to come and plant the seed for them to be saved. And I think that is our priority.
Yeah. Your intentions and all you do should be to grow the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of us and some of you are living as if we want to keep it for ourselves.
Mm.
We are.
Ooh, but yeah.
We want to keep the riffraff out, and you forget that you are the riffraff.
Yes.
The only difference between you and them is that you did come to Christ.
Yeah.
But you're not acting very Christ-like in that moment. So again, if you're going out and your purpose in talking and dealing with people, and when you get down and pray and everything, if it is not to grow the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. then you're doing something wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, if we stop at, oh, well, you know, I just want you to behave. I just want you to cut that out, that thing that offends me. I don't want you to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. If we stop there, then we have sacrificed
that's
the message
the first
of
step.
The gospel.
That's the first step. Yeah. What we want is you to have a radical change in your life.
Right, yeah.
And I know we're coming up on the end here.
Yeah.
So I just want to remind people that you can go to AFA.net
mm-hmm.
and find everything we do. We have an online blog and a print magazine.
We do.
And we have our friends at American Family Studios who have put out all kinds of content. We have our friends at American Family News that is constantly trying to keep you updated on what's going on in the world. And it's just, I mean, and of course, American Family Radio.
Right.
We're only one podcast. I'm sure you know
mm-hmm.
there are so many for you to choose from.
Absolutely.
And maybe not all of them for you. And if you're like listening to this one and you're like, I ain't sure about it, don't worry. There's tons of other things that you can go listen to.
Exactly.
And that's fine with us.
Absolutely. Yes. Please go check out AFA.net for more information on those fronts. And until next week, everyone, to continue to share truth and apply scripture.